All right, James chapter 5, if you would, please. You know, recently we've been talking about specific types of prayer, if you will. We've talked about Holy Spirit prayer, right? That's important to have the Holy Spirit praying always in the Spirit, right? And that's a capital S. That's not a little S. That's not our spirit. That's important. And then last week we talked about always prayer. Always prayer is good prayer. Amen. And then today we're going to talk about fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. And this is the only time in the Bible that this word fervent is related with prayer. Now, the word fervent, other times it talks about praying fervently, which is, you know, the same thing. But in this case, it is called fervent prayer here in the book of James. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, and we're going to read responsively, we'll begin in verse 13. I will, if you will, out loud by myself, and then you can join me on verse 14 and the other even verses out loud, and I'll read the odd verses by myself. Is any among you afflicted, James says, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I appreciate the choir specials, Brother Camp. But it was about prayer, right? Blessed hour of prayer. And by the way, prayer should be blessed, if you will, or blessed to you. I've never figured that out. How many of you English, any English teachers, you can help me with that? Why is it blessed one time and blessed another time? It's the same spelling. What changes? Okay. See, I don't know either. See, you don't know. You don't know. I hate that. I hate English. Okay. Who's with me? Come on. All right. All right. No, it's important. Grammar's important because without it, we wouldn't have the knowledge of this book that we have. It's important, but it sure is frustrating. But anyways, let me tell you this about the English language. God does use specific words for specific purposes. And why would he use this word fervent? You know, this word fervent is not mentioned very often in our scriptures. We're going to go through some of the instances here in just a moment. But it's a special word. And he specifically attaches it to this word prayer, this solemn address to the supreme being. That's what prayer is. Everybody okay with that, right? That's our definition. A solemn address to the supreme being. That's prayer. Fervent prayer. Here's what fervent means. It means hot. Hot. It means, I use that word ardent. You know what ardent means? Ardent means hot. Yeah, so why didn't he just say hot prayer? Well, that doesn't make much sense to us, right? But fervent prayer does. How about this? Along with hot is the word earnest. Right? Earnest, that's good, right? Animated. All right, how many of you, when you get excited, you get animated? Okay, you all know me. What do I talk with most of the time? My hands. And I don't know sign language. So if I'm saying something in sign language by doing this, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not intending to. I just talk with my hands. All right. And some people say, well, what if I tied your hands behind your back? Well, I'd still talk, but it'd be a little difficult. All right. It's excited, animated, glowing. Glowing, that's what fervent means. It means applied. These things, hot, earnest, excited, ardent, animated, glowing, applied to the passions and affections of an individual. So you say, Pastor, why did you make those comments you made about prayer just being a token in the Christian's life? Because that's how we treat it. We don't attach it to the passions and affections that we have for this great, almighty, supreme being. We treat prayer as a mechanic, right? Not an auto mechanic, but as mechanics, as just a motion to go through. We kneel on our knees, or we bow our heads and we pray. We put all the factors, all the elements in there, right? We worship God and we talk to God and we share our daily needs and we things. But is it attached to the passions and emotions of our life? Is it hot prayer? Is it excited prayer? Is it earnest prayer? Is there an urgency to it? Hey, is it passionate and affectionate? Is it engaged? Is it zealous? Is it all these words that take a regular conversation and elevate that conversation? All right? We're all big enough in here. Marriage relationships. Complicated creatures, aren't they? Not just the women, the whole thing. Don't throw anything at me, okay? I said that on purpose. I'm teasing ladies, kind of. No. It's one-sided. I'm sorry. I'm not meaning to offend anyone today. But does it take work to maintain a marriage relationship, ladies and gentlemen? Right? It does. Okay? And that's okay. That's good, right? That's good. But in a marriage relationship, we have times where it's just casual conversation, right? And then there are times where it's fervent. Right? Fervent. Now, fervency could really be kind of a broad category, right? Sometimes arguments are fervent. They're hot, right? But a lot of times it's associated with the affection and intimacy of a marriage relationship. And there's a fervency there. Okay? So please understand that we get to have a close, if you will, intimate relationship with our God. And it's not just a casual conversation with Him, folks. It needs to be fervent. Our prayer needs to be fervent. It needs to be engaged. It needs to be zealous. It needs to be affectionate. It needs to be passionate. It needs to be excited. It needs to be animated. It needs to be glowing. It needs to be earnest. It needs to be hot. That kind of a relationship. Before we get to the actual word fervent in Scripture, I want to remind us of a particular passage of Scripture in Revelation. As God was writing to the churches, and we're going to study this in our Sunday school in time to come, but as He talks to the churches, in most of the churches, well, just flip with me. I want you to see this. In Revelation, and I'll talk about this much more when we get into Sunday school, but if you notice as He begins to talk to the churches in Revelation, He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Okay, so He says there's a church that's of a certain town, right? The church of Ephesus. And then He says, later on, he goes on and he talks about in verse 8, to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Okay, so now there's a church in a town. All right, there's a church of a town, and there's a church in a town. Okay, and then He says in verse 12, unto the angel of the church in Pergamos. So there's another church in a town, right? And then he goes on and he talks about that church, and he gets down to verse 18 and he says of the angel of the church in Thyatira. So there's another church in a town, right? And then he talks about to them, and he goes on and the rest of the chapter talks about that church. And then he gets into chapter 3 and he talks to the angel of the church in Sardis. So here's another church in a town there. And then he goes on to verse 7 and says to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. So there's another church, a called out assembly in a town. All right. And he talks about, and he talks to them. And then he gets down here. He talks to Philadelphia, and he gets to verse 14. And then he says, write to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. So now this is a church of a people group. It's not a church in a town. It's the church of these people. Now, I want you to understand that there's a difference there. The Laodiceans were full of themselves. It's a carnal church. It's a worldly church. It's the church of the Laodiceans. It's not the church of God, if you will, or the church that God owns in a particular town. It's their church. They're self-centered. They're self-focused. And it's the church of the Laodiceans. And he talks to them about their life. And he says, I know thy works in verse 15, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, he says. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You say, Pastor, I don't think it's really fair for you to attach this passage of scripture to this thing of fervent prayer. Well, I do think it is fair. Because what does God want from us? Fervent prayer. He wants hot prayer. He doesn't want lukewarm prayer. God doesn't like lukewarm. He wants us to be hot. As he finishes talking to the Laodiceans, toward the end there, he says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He says, get it right. You're wrong. I am chastening you. I'm putting my hand against you to draw you back to me. Get it right, because he says the next word, he says this. He says in at the end of that verse there, verse 19, he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, one of the words that helps us to describe the word fervent is zeal. To be zealous. He says, be active, be outgoing, be hot, not cold. Be hot, not lukewarm. He says, repent. That's the last thing he says to them. He says, and repent. Folks, listen, if our prayer isn't fervent, we need to repent. We need to get zealous for God. Prayer is not just a token. Prayer is not just a mechanical thing that we go through. It's not just, you know, good God, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. That's a disgrace. That's lukewarm. It needs to be effectual. It needs to have some affection. It needs to have some passion. It needs to have some hotness to it. It needs to be fervent prayer. By the way, why would we go to the supreme being cold? Why would we go to the supreme being lukewarm? We ought to go to the supreme being hot. In fervent prayer. By the way, back in James, what does he say? Effectual. That means to have an effect. Fervent, hot prayer of a what? Righteous man. Here's the thing. This is what I think of when I think of this. I have a relationship with God. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's
cold. Sometimes it's lukewarm. Who decides that? Me. I decide that. Guess what? When it's cold and lukewarm, I'm not really praying to God, am I? Most of the time, no. And if I am, how effectual is it? Not very. Because it's not fervent. Hey, when I realize that I'm away from God, when I realize I'm lukewarm and I'm cold, what should my response be? Oh, God, forgive me. Is that hot? That's what fervent prayer should be like. And guess what? So that's the negative part of it, trying to turn back into a positive. But how about this? When I'm on that mountaintop, when I'm in the Spirit, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, when I'm praying always, and I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, and I'm right with God, then I'm going to God. Oh God, I love you, and oh God, it's fervent, it's ardent, it's passionate, it's affectionate, because I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm hot for the Lord. Isn't that what prayer is supposed to be like? It should be. It should be all the time. In Acts chapter 18, this is just some mentions of the word fervent in our scriptures. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, inviting the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit. That's little s spirit. Okay, so his spirit, he was fervent, he was zealous. Okay, he was fervent, he was hot in his own spirit. Okay, but he was an effectual man. He was making an effect, right, in the ways of the Lord. And he spake and he taught diligently of the things of the Lord. But he only knew the baptism of John, it says, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. By the way, this is a fervent man. He's doing the work of the Lord, and he knows of what John taught, and he knows of Jesus. It says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they helped him out. There were some things that he didn't know about, and they helped him out. They helped him grow. They helped disciple him in his Christian life. But guess what? He was still on fire. He was fervent for God. And he went his way, and as he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. By the way, he was teachable. He was willing to learn. And he was willing to grow. And he was willing to teach others also. He mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. But he was fervent in his own spirit. Folks, we've got to be fervent in our own spirit. And we've got to be on fire for the Lord. By the way, folks, do we have a spirit? Yeah. Yeah. And we've got to yield that spirit to God, and we've got to be excited about God. I know you may not be as an excitable person as I am. I'm a little bit excitable. Right? I've been known to be somewhat loud. Okay, I've been known to be loud. But that's just who I am. And I know you may not be that way. But when it comes to your time with God, we need to be fervent, excited, animated, glowing, applying these things to the passions and affections that we have toward our God and the things of God. Let me just ask you this question. Answer it within yourselves. Are you excited about prayer? Or is it just a thing? Because you know what? Some of the things we do in our lives, we're not excited about. How many of you are excited about taking out the trash? Washing the dishes? I mean, you just, oh, fervent. I'm fervent. This is, woohoo! Come on. Nobody does that. You do? Oh, sorry. I mean, cleaning the house, you know, how many of you ladies, I mean, you just love it. It's the joy of your life. No? Okay. How many of you don't mind it? You do it with a happy spirit. Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. How many of you hate it? All right. Yeah, amen. All right. Now, we don't do, I mean, okay. What in your life excites you? What in your life are you fervent about? Emotionally, passionately attached to? There's lots of things. Lots of things have our attention. Okay? I enjoy sports. A lot of people enjoy sports. Some people couldn't give a hoot about sports. But I like sports. And boy, when I'm watching sports or I'm coaching sports or I'm involved in sports, I am all in. I'm excited about it. And I want to show my excitement. I'm animated. I'm loud when it comes to sports. Sometimes in a bad way. But nonetheless, by the way, my wife and I were just talking about this. I am fervent in driving. Brother, we witnessed that last night, right? I made sure the horn on the bus was working good. It's working well. How many of you are fervent drivers? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hot. And I get a little animated. A little passionate about driving. Let me ask you a question. If in our spirit we can be fervent, passionate, animated, glowing, excited about earthly things, why not prayer? Now you say, well, but Pastor Apollos, he was fervent about preaching the gospel and seeing people saved, and yeah, be fervent in that. But he was fervent in his spirit that he was going to do this for God. And by the way, prayer is something we do with God. And we should be fervent in it. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in little s spirit. So we need to be hot in our own spirit. By the way, if we're born again, our spirit is renewed. If it's a renewed spirit, it should be hot. It shouldn't be cold. It shouldn't be lukewarm. It should be on fire. And it should be on fire for the Lord. He says, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. By the way, coming before God in prayer is we're serving the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give to account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit, little s spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity. Fervent charity. So, we're supposed to be fervent in our spirit, But we're supposed to be fervent in our love. What does it say in Corinthians about, if I have not charity, I'm nothing, right? Sounding brass. It's love is a and fervent love, hot love, animated love, excited love is important. Isn't that how we should come to the Supreme Being with our petitions and our requests and our worship and our time with Him? It should be in charity, with fervent charity. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Hey, they were zealous, but they were zealous to good works, not to God. He said, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." By the way, what did he say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a, but not righteous in our own righteousness, but righteous in His righteousness. Listen to the rest of verse 10, chapter 10, verse 4 of Romans. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." It's the righteousness of Christ. You see, all these things are together. And it's, I hope you're understanding that today I'm pitching to you, if you will, this thing of complete prayer or fervent prayer has to do with the Holy Spirit, has to do with always praying, has to do with our righteousness in Christ Jesus, has to do with our relationship with Him. That it's not cold, that it's not lukewarm, but that it's hot. It's fervent toward God. And we have got to be at a place in our lives that we have great zeal for God, that we have a fervent spirit. Our own spirit is hot toward God. And any of you husbands long to get home to your wife? I hope so. If not, your relationship might be a little cold or lukewarm. That's not good. Okay? Any of you ladies, a little fervent for your husband to come home for work? If not, need to check that thermostat. Maybe it's broken. There's something wrong. Aren't you excited to get to the prayer altar and see God? Aren't you glowing and animated about it? Doesn't it excite you? It needs to be fervent prayer. Not just token prayer. Not just, oh, it's just prayer. Oh, I'm just talking to God. No! No, it's not that. It needs to be fervent. Paul writes to Titus. I'm skipping verses here. He writes in Colossians about Epaphras. Epaphras was a servant of Christ. A wonderful help to Paul. A wonderful help to the people in Colossae. He said, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you." And here's Epaphras. Epaphras loved his people. The people that were from his congregation, he loved them. And he says he labors, his laboring, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Listen, I know, because I'm guilty of this. It's terrible. I have prayed for y'all lukewarmly. I have. There's been times where I get out my prayer list and I'll just pray, you know, God bless this family, God bless that family, God bless this missionary, God bless that missionary. It's kind of lukewarm. Maybe cold. But then there's times where I yield my spirit to God's spirit and it gets hot. And you know what? You may not believe this because it doesn't happen very often, but some tears come to my eyes. Because now it's affecting me. It's getting a hold of me. It's becoming fervent prayer. That little temperature gauge is rising. And that level of heat is just slowly, it's increasing. Because now, the heart's getting involved with it. The emotions, the passion, the fervency is increasing. And it's becoming fervent prayer. And I believe that Epaphras loved so dearly these people. And Paul said he always labored fervently in prayer for them. This man was on fire all the time. I want to be an Epaphras. That's the kind of pastor I want to be. I don't know if Epaphras was actually the pastor of this church, but I want you to understand that Epaphras loved these people. He labored fervently for them. And he prayed for these people. He loved them. He was one of them. He prayed for them that they may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. He says, "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you." There's that word. It's in the same sentence. "And them that are in Laodicea." Oh, he loved the Laodiceans too. These people that were lukewarm. But he was fervent in his prayers. In Titus, Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2. Long, long thing here. I don't have time to get through it all. But at the end of it, in verse 15, he says, he's talking about sound doctrine and sound faith and sound in charity and in patience and people teaching other people and the women teaching the women, the men teaching the men. He gets down to the end, he says this, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Folks, we need to be zealous about this thing of prayer. We need to be fervent in this thing of prayer. In 1 Peter, Peter says, "Wherefore, gird up the Lord's loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." Now that's our behavior. I appreciate Brother Nicholas teaching the boys about conversation this summer. About their behavior. It's not just our speech, but it's the way we are. And by the way, our behavior matters when we go to God in prayer. But he says, but it is written, "Be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father," so he says, okay, if you're going to pray, right? If you call on the Father, he says, "who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." So listen to this. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the big S Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, whom are we supposed to be controlled by? The Holy Spirit. Our spirit needs to be yielded to His Spirit. All right? He says, "through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently." Fervently. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away, falleth away. But The word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So how are we going to obtain fervency in prayer? It's when we decide to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells within us. And by the way, if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, are we going to have that Holy Spirit prayer we need? Praying always in the Spirit. Yes. Are we going to have that always prayer that we need? Always praying, right? Exactly. And is it going to be hot? Is it going to be animated? Is it going to be ardent? Is it going to be, I lost some of my words. I'm getting back here in just a moment. Glowing and engaged and zealous and excited and passionate and affectionate. If it's in the Spirit. Remember some of the examples we have in Scripture about prayer? How about David? Anybody want to testify or agree that David was a fervent prayer? Hello. He was. I have several scriptures here that exclaim that. Oh, by the way, you understand that he wasn't the only one. Remember the children of Israel when they kind of messed up and they did these things and they kind of cried out for a god or a king rather than God? Remember that? And when Samuel gave the judgment of God against them, they cried out to Samuel and said, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Hey, listen. They knew what was needed to save them out of the hand of the Philistines. It was fervent prayer. It was always prayer. It was Holy Spirit prayer. And you know what? Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. That's what we need. We need that in our lives. That kind of prayer. God wants us to pray, but he wants us to pray hot. He wants us to pray fervently. He wants us to pray with the passion and the affection like David or like Samuel or maybe like Hannah. Remember we talked about Hannah when she came there to the house of God and she was so full that she couldn't even utter the words and she needed to hear from God and she was hot toward God for his favor in her life. Hey, remember Hezekiah when he was told he was going to die? And he said, "Hey, what have I got to lose? I'm going to die. God has pronounced judgment on me. I'm going to go to the Lord." And Hezekiah, he prayed and he prayed with zeal. He prayed with tears. He poured out his heart to God and God gave him 15 more years of life. Esther, she fasted and prayed. She got an answer. Was she fervent toward God? Oh, yes. How about Job? Job was in quite a predicament. We see his fervency in prayer. Did God answer him? He did. You know, God has this thing about his people. He loves them. He loves them. Good, bad, or ugly, he loves them. Now, is he going to chasten them? Yes, but guess what? That's love. Is he going to bless them? Yes. Guess what? That's love. He loves them. And he loves us, folks. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. And we ought to love him fervently, with a pure heart. And as we go to God in prayer, it needs to be fervent prayer. By the way, I saved the last example for us. It's in Luke 22. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. And by the way, I like to call this one the Lord's Prayer because it really is. Not the model prayer found in Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6. But this is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus prays in Luke 22 as he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray. This is in verse 39. I apologize for not telling you that. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And he, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. By the way, wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the olive tree? There was no walls, it wasn't a building, so I had to say something else. A fly on the olive tree. Okay? Wouldn't you like to have been there? Oh, by the way, there were three people invited to be close enough to hear him. But what were they doing? How sad. Those three men missed out on one of the most exciting times in Bible history. To hear the Son of God fervently praying with your own ears. That'd have been something. And it's strengthening. By the way, it says there appeared an angel. Whoa! They missed that too. Strengthening him. But folks, wrap your heads around this. God sent an angel to strengthen the Son of God in this prayer. That's hot! Praying. Being in agony. He prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Well, this is fervent prayer. When have we prayed so fervently in our lives? Ever? He said, but Pastor, this was an extraordinary circumstance. Here, the Son of God, the God-man, God and man at the same time, his physical body was about to be sacrificed. Anybody here want to die? You're just saying, I want to die. Yeah, nobody does. Okay? Nobody does. But he knew that was the only way for him to physically die was to provide salvation for us. His flesh didn't want to do it. We don't run to death. I mean, that's just not what normal people do. But you understand, it takes a fervency, it takes a strength, it takes a passion. That's why they call it the passion of Christ. You understand that, right? It's a passion, it's a hotness, it's that ardency, it's that fervency. How bad do you want to talk to God? How bad do you want to give a solemn address to the Almighty Supreme Being? It's got to be fervent prayer. We know that when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter temptation. Folks, they missed it all. They missed the greatest example of effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. There's none more righteous than Jesus Christ the righteous. There's none more fervent than Jesus Christ the Son of God, who loved us so much he gave his own life for us. There's none more effectual than the advocate sitting at the right hand of God. They missed that example. Have we missed that example in our lives? Because we're sleeping? We're not paying attention. Folks, I'm just trying to emphasize to us today that God uses this word in this one particular passage to describe prayer. He says it must be effectual. It must be fervent prayer. Because we need fervent prayer in our lives. We need it. And you know what? I'm going to use a good word here. It would behoove us. You know how much I love using big fancy college words. That's at least a $10 word. It would behoove us to always, through the Holy Spirit of God, have fervent prayer. Every time we pray. Why would we sacrifice that? Why would we not Go to God fervently. Anytime. You say, well, you know, I'm just asking God to bless my food. But why aren't we asking God to bless our food fervently? Well, I'm just praying and thanking God for the day that He gave me. I'm about to go to sleep. I got to go to work. And I'm just praying to shut her down for the night. You know, it doesn't need to be that hot. It doesn't need to be fervent. Why? Why not? Oh, I'm just making my normal daily trek to work. You know, I follow the same path. I deal with the same idiots on the road that I always deal with, and I just yell at them and I honk my horn at them, and it's okay. I make it to work, all right? It doesn't need to be fervent prayer. Oh, I disagree. And I lament the fact that my prayer life is most of the time lukewarm or some of the time cold. But not very often is it fervent. Not very often is it hot. You know what I need to do? I need to repent. I need to get right. I need to say, God, You are God. You are Almighty God. And all my prayer should be fervent prayer. Doesn't He deserve that? Doesn't He deserve our affection? Doesn't He deserve our love? Doesn't He deserve to have that hot relationship with us? By the way, He's that way toward us all the time. We're not that way toward Him all the time. He loves us with that everlasting love. He loves us with that agape love. And we've got to love Him with a pure heart, fervently. Fervent prayer.